The St. Isaac Jogues walking tour will start at Broadway and Bowling Green in downtown Manhattan.
Hello, I'm Dolores Nolan, your virtual tour guide for Saints of New York.
This area is known as the Financial District of New York City. It's the home of Wall Street, the Stock Exchange, high-powered brokerage firms, the nation's first capital, and the nation's first restaurant, the legendary Delmonico's, that's been serving an illustrious clientele since the early 1800s. The Financial District has also become a vital residential area with beautiful views of New York Harbor, the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, Staten Island, Governor's Island, New Jersey, and the Hudson River. This area has the richest history because it was right here at the intersection of Broadway and Bowling Green that not only did New York City have its beginning, but so did the nation. And even though New York City is a young city compared to cities that date back to the ancient world, there are layers of history in this area. So make it a point to read the Explore Downtown information signs to learn more and see pictures of what the area looked like as it evolved over the centuries. Now, the easiest way to get here is to take the number 4 or number 5 subway trains to Bowling Green. Depending upon what day you visit, some of the exits might be closed and you might have to go downstairs to then go upstairs to exit. So read the signs at the subway station when you exit the train. In 1613, the Dutch established a trading post in the area where the World Trade Center stood on Church Street. In 1624, the Dutch West India Company built Fort Amsterdam. The settlement that grew around the fort was called New Amsterdam. In 1626, the Dutch Colonial Director General Peter Minuit purchased the island of Manhattan from the Canarsie Native Americans. It's right here at Broadway and Bowling Green that the deal was done and the fort was built. The beautiful building that stands here now was the Customs House from 1842 until 1975 when it moved to the World Trade Center. The main entrance is designed much like a triumphal arch. The 4 limestone sculptures in the front, they're allegories of Asia, America, Europe, and Africa. And the 12 figures at the top represent great seafaring empires from the past. Now, this building is the National Museum of the American Indian and Federal Bankruptcy Court. It stands on the same site as Fort Amsterdam. The fort was the center of the settlement's political and social life. Governors and soldiers lived here. And the fort was bounded by Whitehall, Broadway, Pearl, State, Bridge, High, and Broad Streets. Of course, these are English versions of old Dutch street names. The Battery just across the way was a much smaller area of land than what we see today. And long before the iconic Bronze Bull right there at Bowling Green, like many of the streets in those days, Broadway was an Indian trail with shrubs, and the Hudson River was known as the North River. It was September 1643 when Father Isaac Jogues arrived on the island of Manhattan. He was the first Catholic priest to do so. A French Jesuit missionary, Father Jogues worked among the Hurons in Canada and New York. He was born on January 10, 1607 in Orleans, France, into a Catholic family. He was raised by his loving mother since his father died soon after he was born. Jogues was 17 when he entered the novitiate school. It was at college that he heard many reports about the New World, which very likely prompted his interest in missionary work. He was a fine scholar, writer, and teacher. He headed for the New World in the summer of 1636 when he was 29. Jogues was overjoyed to have arrived in Quebec and wrote his mother, "I do not know what it is to enter heaven, but this I know, that it would be difficult to experience in this world a joy more excessive and more overflowing than I felt in setting foot in the New World and celebrating my first Mass on the day of the Visitation." St. Isaac Jogues was very fervent in his faith and his mission to live and work among the Hurons and to teach them about Christianity. For 6 years, he lived along Lake Huron and learned the Hurons' language, customs, and culture. He converted many to Catholicism. The Hurons and other Native Americans referred to Jogues and the other Jesuits as Black Robes. The 1991 film Black Robe is about a 17th century Jesuit priest, much like St. Isaac Jogues, who penetrated the wilderness of Quebec. On August 3, 1642, while on a return journey from Quebec back to Lake Huron, he was captured and taken prisoner near Three Rivers by the Mohawks. The Mohawks took him to an Indian village now known as Auriesville on the Mohawk River, about 40 miles north of what is now Albany. There, Jokes spent 13 months as a slave to the Mohawks, suffering all kinds of torture. And by all accounts, and based upon drawings of Jokes, he seemed to be more delicate than robust, but in spite of that, he endured. He never lost his faith and would pray often. He read the book Imitation of Christ over and over and over again. The Mohawks called him Ondesunk, the Indomitable One. Even though he was a prisoner, Jokes continued his missionary work by always attending to the needs of other prisoners and even Mohawks who may have been ill. It was the Dutch that ransomed Jokes and took him on a ship the last week of September 1643 from north of Albany to New Amsterdam. As they approached the settlement of New Amsterdam, they saw such a different city than what we see today. It was hilly and pastoral. There were orchards and gardens, a small cemetery, a windmill. They also saw the flowing together of the North River, today's Hudson, and the East River, and the islands that reach out to the sea. But instead of skyscrapers, hotels, museums, and apartment buildings, they saw charming Dutch-like gabled houses. The ship docked at Schrier's Hook, an old name for the Battery. When Jokes disembarked, he and others walked Pearl Street to where they would lodge at the Staatsherberg, or City Inn. To stroll in the steps of St. Isaac Jokes, walk along the side of the Museum of the Native American so that Battery Park is across the street. This will have you walking down State Street, cross Bridge Street, and walk the block to Pearl. A Starbucks is on the corner. Make a left, stroll Pearl Street, and cross Chambers Street to the skyscraper number 33, Chambers, right on the corner. Now keep strolling Pearl Street, and it will be the beige-colored building right next to 33 Chambers, where you'll see a plaque to commemorate the first church built on Manhattan Island in 1633. Jokes described it as spacious and made of stone. Continue your stroll on Pearl Street, pass Moore, and cross to Broad Street. You'll see Francis Tavern on the other side of Pearl. Now, Francis Tavern is where General George Washington bid farewell to his troops after the Revolutionary War. But it's the skyscraper at 85 Broad Street and Pearl which has significance to St. Isaac Jokes. 85 Broad Street stands on the land where St. Isaac Jokes lived while in New Amsterdam. Along the Pearl Street side of 85 Broad, you'll see the remains of early New York City. There's a gold sign that illustrates what it looked like here in the 17th and 18th centuries. The archaeological sign will also direct you to excavation sites below street level. You'll see an 18th century well and the foundation of the Lovelace Tavern built in 1670, named in honor of the English governor. The site for the Staatsherberg, the inn where St. Isaac Jokes lived while in New Amsterdam, is outlined in cream-colored paving. It was built of stone in 1641 and was one of the finest buildings in New Amsterdam. It stood two stories high along the East River and had a slanting roof with three tall chimneys. The Jesuits were great at keeping records and journals of their adventures and experiences. Father Jokes wrote that on the island of Manhattan and its environs, there were about 400 to 500 men. There were women, too. And they were of various sects and nations and spoke 18 different languages. There were Calvinists, Catholics, English Puritans, Lutherans, and Anabaptists. Father Jokes walked all around New Amsterdam, and his writings indicate it could be covered in 15 minutes. So you do the same. Stroll in the steps of St. Isaac Jokes and soak up the atmosphere. You won't get lost. It's a small, charming area. You can stroll one of the oldest paved streets in New York City, Stone Street. It's just up from the back of 85 Broad Street. And what's fascinating is that part of the old Stone Street extends right into today's 85 Broad Street. Stroll up Stone and take note of the corner of Stone and Mill Lane. It's believed that this is where the last Dutch Director General, Peter Stuyvesant, ceded the colony to the British in 1664. The name of the city was then changed to New York to honor the Duke of York and Albany. There are many places to dine in this historic area. Delmonico's is nearby at 56 Beaver Street, and the classic steakhouse Harry's is at 1 Hanover Square at the end of Stone Street in the handsome historic India House built in 1851. Many of the 19th century buildings on Stone Street are landmark buildings. The original home of the Cotton Exchange is at Hanover Square and Stone. Fast forward to today, and you can visit the Vietnam Veterans Memorial along the East River. From Pearl Street, simply stroll through Coenties Alley and cross Water Street. Make your way back to Battery Park, or Schreyer's Hook, also Weeper's Point, as it was known in 17th century New York. Today, Battery Park is a wonderful, verdant public open space, which is under restoration and will be even more wondrous when completed. Today's Battery Park is filled with tourists and a variety of monuments and memorials, including the Sphere, which was salvaged from the World Trade Center disaster site and serves as a memorial to the victims of 9/11. It's also where you can board ferries to take you to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. Buy your tickets at Castle Clinton National Monument, the circular fort-like structure. Castle Clinton National Monument is a historic landmark itself. It had many lives. Initially, it was built in anticipation of the War of 1812. It had a life as the city's premier cultural center, and before Ellis Island, it served as America's first immigrant receiving center. It was once the New York Aquarium, but today, as well as the ticket office for the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island, Castle Clinton National Monument is a museum that tells you the story about the growth of New York City. On November 5, 1643, the Battery was filled with the settlers of New Amsterdam. They gathered to bid farewell to Father Isaac Jogues as he boarded a ship at Schreyer's Hook that took him to England. From England, he sailed home and arrived in France on Christmas Day. But he did not stay long in France. Jogues had a burning desire to return to the New World and convert the Indians, especially his former captors, the Mohawks. Father Jogues returned to Canada in the spring of 1644 to again live and work among the Hurons. In 1646, he was dispatched to negotiate a peace pact between the French and the Iroquois nation. His former captors, the Mohawks, members of the Iroquois nation, welcomed him, and a peace pact was made. Father Jogues was then granted his wish to return to the Mohawks as a missionary. But alas, famine and blight struck the Mohawks, and having been earlier looked upon as a sorcerer, the Mohawks blamed Jogues for their woes. On October 18, 1646, he was struck by a tomahawk and decapitated. His head was fixed on the palisades, and his body was thrown into the Mohawk River. Since Father Jogues wanted to save the Mohawks and be a martyr for Indian souls, upon his death, his brother Jesuits celebrated a mass of thanksgiving rather than a requiem. Father Isaac Jogues was canonized by Pope Pius XI on June 29, 1930, along with seven other North American martyrs. Their feast day is October 19th. The shrines that commemorate them are at Auriesville, New York, and Midland, Ontario. If you want to see more sights, a stroll up Broadway will take you to Wall Street, which runs from Broadway and Trinity Church downhill east to South Street on the East River. In 17th century New Amsterdam, Wall Street was the northern boundary of the settlement. Make sure you stop at Federal Hall Memorial at 26 Wall Street. This is where George Washington was sworn in as the first president of the United States of America. And when you stroll Broadway, read the plaques in the sidewalk. They commemorate all the ticker tape parades that have occurred in this canyon of heroes. And here's a Catholic footnote. On October 3, 1979, Pope John Paul II's motorcade reversed the traditional parade route and traveled down Broadway to the Battery, where he made a speech to the nation. If you want to dine and take in the fabulous view of New York Harbor, you'll enjoy Battery Gardens inside Battery Park at the tip across from 17th State Street. I also recommend Brasserie La Halle downtown at 15 John Street between Broadway and Nassau Street. Best-selling author, chef, and Travel Channel star Anthony Bourdain is the executive chef. La Halle downtown was one of the first new restaurants to open after 9/11, and in true New York spirit, the owners are committed to the rebounding neighborhood. I hope you enjoyed the story about St. Isaac Jogues. He was a son, a scholar, a teacher, an explorer, a priest, a missionary, a saint.